Is it fair to say Keane Lynch is your hurler of the year?
I just say, Keane, here's the trophy. That's it. I wouldn't even give three names. I just say Keane Lynch, hurler of the year. And like, it was so good, give it an extra.
OTB AM. Live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
It's time for Deal or No Deal.
I signed for them after the Euros. And after my first day's training on a driving home, I was actually thinking, regretting it, what have I done? Like, I walked into a circus. It's amazing, isn't it?
To zip through these, we've got 10 minutes here to talk about one of the biggest stories in the world of sport at the moment. Real Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain in a tug of love for Kylian Mbappe. What's going to happen here, Phil? On a scale of 1 to 10, Kylian Mbappe to Real Madrid, 10 being he's at Real Madrid, he's a Real Madrid player, 170, 200 million, whatever the fee. What do you think?
I don't think it's going to happen. So I'm going to kind of go under 5.
Right.
So maybe 3 or 4. You can get him for free next year.
But you can get him now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a power play, I suppose, as well. It's Real Madrid saying that PSG, you screwed us over when it came to the Super League. Where were you? You weren't on our side. And also, you look at the lineup that Real Madrid played against Levante the other night, and Gareth Bale is getting back into the team. They're not at their strongest. Eden Hazard was in that starting 11 as well. So Mbappe obviously would be a great addition, but in terms of Mbappe, you're looking at why now to join Real Madrid. Obviously, he wants to play for Real Madrid. This is his dream, but why not wait till next year when you've got Messi has joined PSG? You've got a much better chance of winning the Champions League with PSG this season than you would with Real Madrid.
Is there any chance, Phil, that this gets like becomes a massive auction for Kylian Mbappe, or rather, clubs auctioning themselves to Kylian Mbappe, I should say, over the course of the next year? Do you think his dreams of joining Real Madrid are actually because he knows that Real Madrid can afford him? Like, what happens if like Liverpool show up in Paris at some point over the next few months and are like, Kylian, we can absolutely make your dreams come true. Come and take a box at Liverpool FC and just see what it's like. Do you think that there's like a wild card that could come out of the left field if Real Madrid don't act over the next few weeks?
Yeah, that's a possibility. You mentioned Liverpool there. I'm not sure Liverpool have the wage structure to get this deal done.
Can I just say on that, right? If you don't get him this year, next year you can give him a giant signing on fee and let the wages be whatever the wage structure is. So instead of giving 100 million to PSG, you give 100 million to Kylian Mbappe and you give him 100 grand a week and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
There's a way around it if you want to do it.
But even that, 100 million, Liverpool don't do that really. They never do. Like, the highest they've gone with the likes of Alisson and Van Dijk was because it was off the back of the Coutinho deal.
Yeah.
So I think he wants to play for Real Madrid, and it'll be interesting to see how the season goes for Real Madrid. Watching Real Madrid and Barcelona over the weekend, it's quite clear. I mean, it was pretty obvious anyway. They're not what they used to be. And maybe if he doesn't go to Real Madrid this season and Real don't have a good season, is it a harder sell for Real Madrid to get him from PSG? But right now, PSG would be one of the best clubs for him to be at. But
okay,
he's obviously decided he wants out.
How will the trio of Messi, Neymar and Mbappe work?
I'd say they'd work pretty well. I would imagine you're looking at Mbappe and Neymar, and then you've got Messi playing in behind them. Now, I'm not convinced that they're going to win the Champions League, because as good as Messi is, you've seen their downfalls in previous seasons has been in other departments. And also, when things go wrong for PSG, they just lose their discipline. And I don't think too many people are fans of PSG, given for what they stand. And the whole Messi to PSG thing just has left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, because, you know, this was a guy that was a Barcelona legend, and you just thought maybe he might go back to Argentina, but he's gone to PSG, and it just wasn't very interesting, was it?
L'Equipe report this morning, Cristiano Ronaldo wants out of Juventus and will push for a move to City in the final week of the window. This is the last season on his contract as well. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely is it, 10 being that he will be a Manchester City player at the start of September?
Again, I'm lowball on that one. And again, I mean, that's a move you don't really want to see. I know it's not quite going like a former Manchester United player going to Liverpool, which is obviously the bigger rivalry. But still, you're Cristiano Ronaldo, you've played for Manchester United, you're adored by United fans, and then rocking up to Manchester to play for City, Yeah, wouldn't be great. But again, could be using this as maybe a brokering a deal somewhere else. Why not go to Sporting? Go back to your home club, who are Portuguese champions now. They're going to play in the Champions League. That would be a more romantic story than Messi going to PSG.
He wants just one more Champions League. Just one more Champions League.
Would that not be a nice way to say, do you know what, Messi, I've outdone you here. I've gone for...
Why not do both? Have a season with somebody who's a Champions League winner and then go to Sporting when you're like 38, 39, 40. This guy's going to go on for a while, I think.
I know, yeah.
How would Pep use him? Straight out and out striker, no work to do, we'll create chances, that's it?
You just stay in the box and we'll just get the ball to you. Yeah, I mean, that could work. Obviously, they play with a false nine last season. I mean, people talk about they haven't replaced Aguero, but Aguero essentially didn't really feature last season. So Ronaldo could definitely do a job. And look, he'd bang in goals, but I just, again, it just worries you where football is going if these are the kind of moves that are happening.
Okay. How likely is Harry Kane to be a Manchester City player by the end of the season on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being...
Again, I don't think that's happened. I just think that the way the football market is at the moment, a lot of these moves are not going to happen. Loan moves, a bit more realistic, but it just seems that Harry Kane, the fact that he came back at the weekend, you know, signed autographs, got pictures taken with the Spurs fans. Now, is that his charm offensive to say, yeah, no hard feelings, but deep down and behind the scenes, they're scrambling to get this deal done before next Tuesday?
Okay.
I don't know, but... It looks more and more unlikely.
Harry Kane's going to finish his career at Spurs if he doesn't move this summer. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, well, I suppose it really depends on how Nuno gets on. They've obviously started with two wins, but it looks like it's more of the Mourinho-type football. It's not great on the eye. So the encouraging thing is they obviously have Paratici in there now, and you know they seem to be able to get deals done, but
yeah,
if... Look, Harry Kane's biggest mistake was that whoever, well, we know his brother brokered that long-term deal. They did a really bad job on him.
Chelsea and Manchester United are being linked with late moves to secure Atletico Madrid's Saúl Ñíguez on loan. What impact will he make if he joins either side? Will he play?
I think he would play, yeah. I think he's a player that neither club need as urgently as other parts of the field. Obviously, I know he plays in midfield. I think United need midfielders, but I'd be looking at a more specialised holding midfielder for United. Say somebody like a Wilfred Ndidi, or even we were watching Brighton the other day, Yves Bissouma, that kind of player that can screen your back four. Ñíguez can play anywhere in midfield, but United have players like that. I mean, they've got Donny van de Beek, who they're not giving any game time to. In terms of Chelsea, again, he gets into the Chelsea team. Wouldn't be a regular, maybe. But they've such a good squad that, yeah, he'd be a very welcomed addition. They're effectively putting together two really good starting 11s.
Are there not loads of players available on the Sos bench at Paris Saint-Germain and also the Italian clubs and also the French clubs? Like, why are we not seeing more fire sales? You know, these clubs are supposed to be completely broke that we've been hearing stories about. Why are we not seeing more cut price deals for some players that you might have expected? I suppose I'm largely thinking about Paris Saint-Germain, but even at Arsenal, there are surely players who have been ruined by the system and bad managers who are actually good value at these clubs that you think could easily do a job at one of the other big clubs.
Yeah, sometimes it's just very hard to shift players because they could be on such a good deal that if the right offer doesn't come, they're not going to go. And you do get the players that just want to get out and they just want to say, I need to play football. But then if you're getting maybe two times the amount you get in other places,
yeah,
it's going to be very hard to turn that down. And, you know, if say you mentioned PSG, I wouldn't mind living in Paris, to be honest. So if you're going to give that up, it's got to be a
cold in the winter, though, you know.
Cold in the winter.
Means a lot.
But do you know what? They've lovely heaters outside if you want to sit outside the Parisian cafe and have a coffee.
This is true. There's always the Mediterranean lifestyle. I always thought like playing for Nice would be pretty good. Playing for
As long as you're not in with the ultras.
Yeah, you probably don't. You know, you've got your own gated community living in Monaco, essentially not paying any tax. Yesterday, Arteta was reported to have five matches to get Arsenal's season back on track, with Conte being the number one candidate to replace him. What is wrong with Arsenal? They're not just getting Antonio Conte now.
because they've obviously started this project with Mikel Arteta. The unknown is, because he's a first-time manager, we don't know if he's going to turn this around. But I think there's been a bit of an overreaction to... They lost to Chelsea. Arsenal, they might have beaten them twice last season in the league. Doesn't matter. They were behind closed doors. Proper games this season. Chelsea signed Lukaku. He scores in his debut. They're playing Man City at the weekend. Are they games that Arsenal are ever going to win? No. Like, Chelsea could go to Anfield this weekend and win, and everyone's saying, yeah, Chelsea are going to win the league this season. People still think, even if they don't win at Anfield this season or this weekend, that they're going to win the league. So, they had a poor game against Brentford. That wasn't the easiest fixture to start off with, a team coming up from the Championship, full house, first game, giddiness around the Brentford Stadium, and Arsenal missing players as well because of COVID. So, five games, we'll see what he's made of. Really, like, big game tonight. Like, the second round of the League Cup, the fact that they're in it tells you everything about Arsenal, because the only reason they're in it is because they're not in European football for the first time since the mid-90s. But West Brom have started with three wins and a draw in the Championship and look very much like a team that'll be challenging to get back to the Premier League. So they're going to fancy their chances. And yeah, if we're having this conversation tomorrow morning after West Brom beat Arsenal, then the pressure is cranked up big time on Arteta. If you get Conte in, you know what he's about. There's certain Arsenal players probably do need a right kick up the backside. He's the player or the manager that would do it. It would be short term, but he could turn around the fortune so much that it's easier to attract the next manager because you've got Arsenal back to near the top table.
So a Conte team would be a good team, worth watching and successful.
Well, I mean, look what he's done to Inter. He went in and he won the title. He's obviously gone now. It'll be interesting to see how they fare without him. Obviously, they've lost a few players, but the way he came in and got the job done with Chelsea as well. Better squads, those Inter squads and Chelsea squads, but certainly, like, with Arsenal this season, they have to be finishing top six.
Okay, that's not going to happen though, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
with Arteta, if Arteta stays, you think they can finish top six?
Let's see. I mean, I think the top four stays as it is, and then you're looking at...
It turns out West Ham are really good. Yeah, Leicester, West Ham.
Let's see how West Ham get on when the European football kicks in and that squad that they have. And Antonio, as good as he is injury prone. He gets muscle injuries, he gets hamstring problems. So let's see how West Ham get on. Leicester, obviously beaten by them the other night. Let's see how they get on as well.
Okay. Who has been the Premier League signing of the window so far based on the massive overreaction of two fixtures? What are we saying?
That's a tough one. I'm probably thinking, just for his goal at the weekend, let's say Danny Ings.
Right.
Because he's played two games, he scored two goals. And there was talk of him getting a move to he wanted top six. He was talking about one of the Manchester clubs maybe being a fringe player, but we know he's going to play regularly at Aston Villa and he's up and running already. And that was an unbelievable goal.
It was a pretty good goal. It was a performance from Villa that was like, Villa aren't going to be entirely flaky and lose against Newcastle. I mean, they were pretty flaky in the opening day of the season, but I forgive the opening day of the season. And Douglas Luiz was back at the team. They look much better. I'm relatively confident of them now being a mid-table side.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the stats are there that they fare a lot better with Jack Grealish in the team. He's gone now, so they have to just get on with it. But it was important that they got that win. And I said, the fact that Ings is scoring goals, if they keep him fit, he's obviously a lot more clinical than Ollie Watkins. But I'm excited to see...
Can they play together?
We know Watkins is a handful in terms of the movement he gives. At one stage last season, he was basically doing the job of two players up front. That's how much energy he gives you up front. So that can only be a good thing for Villa and probably only a good thing for Danny Ings if Ollie Watkins is the one doing a lot of the work and Ings will just put the ball in the back of the net.
What is the story with Anwar Al-Ghazi still taking penalties? Like, as somebody who I tipped as golden boot winner at the start of the year, Danny Ings, this is not good.
No.
Well, Al-Ghazi's he's the penalty taker.
I think Ings should step on up and say, I scored week one.
He did, but Al-Ghazi wasn't on the pitch, so that's the only reason. So it's that case of if Al-Ghazi misses one, then it's over to Ings. But I know it takes away, you're talking maybe 6-7 goals. Although it looks like it's going to be harder to win penalties this season in the Premier League.
That might actually have an impact on those odds. It's a fair point. Phil, that's this week's, this day's deal or no deal. We'll be doing it again later on this week. Is it fair to say Keane Lynch is your hurler of the year?
I just say, Keane, here's the trophy. That's it. I wouldn't even give three names. I just say Keane Lynch, hurler of the year. And like, it was so good, give it to an extra.
OTB AM, live, weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.